Hello everyone, this is Randy Guthrie, Microsoft Technical Evangelist. This video is an introduction to TouchDevelop and a demonstration of how to create and publish a TouchDevelop game. We start by going to the TouchDevelop website at touchdevelop.com. I'm using private browsing because there's a bug in the sign-in system in TouchDevelop. And using private browsing or incognito browsing if you're in Chrome overcomes that problem. So we'll go to touchdevelop.com, and then I'm going to launch TouchDevelop by clicking on this green button. Then in the top left, I'm going to sign in. You want to sign in because that's the way your work will be saved. When you're signed in, the first thing you'll want to do is to customize your user ID. You'll initially be assigned a random number, but if you click on that, you can open up this little screen and then click this button that says View Edit Name Email. Then you can change your public nickname to something that you can recognize. This will help you later when you log back in to make sure you're logged in properly. And also, once you share your game, you'll be able to identify that it was yours that you shared. Now let's navigate a little bit more on this screen. A couple of things to note is this section here on the left shows scripts that you've worked on. If you've done a tutorial or two, they'll show up here. If you've opened someone else's script to look at it, it will also show up here. Over in this side, what gets presented depends on your skill level. By default, you're going to be logged in as a beginner, and all you'll see are the tutorials. For the work that we're going to do, we're going to want to change the skill level from beginner to expert. Once we do that, we'll get a little bit more information here with a what's new, search everything, get started, etc. One other thing that you'll notice is a little further down on the left, there's an area called forums, and you can browse the forums, you can search the forums, because there may be people asking questions and getting answers to the same questions that you might have when you're making your game. So that's a good resource to find out how to do certain things that aren't necessarily covered in the tutorials. All right, let's get started. I'm going to click this box here up near the top of the screen called Create a Script. And I'm going to choose a blank game. The first thing we're going to have a chance to do is to name it. And since I already know I'm going to make a fish or an ocean-based game for this demo, I'm going to call this Bubblefish and click Create. It put a 2 here because I've already got a Bubblefish in existence, so it's Bubblefish 2. Let's take a quick look at the code that was generated for us with this template. We have a function called main, and that's going to be the main part of the code that we'll execute for our game. The first instruction creates a board, and then it starts the game, and then we have on that board a splash screen called Get Ready. If we want to add a splash screen, we can duplicate a second splash screen, we can duplicate this. Or if we want to edit, we can click on this Get Ready, and then there is an edit button right here, and then we can just retype this and say, let's start. Click on this check mark, and then we've changed that bit of text. Let's run it and see how this game looks. There's our splash screen, and we have a sprite which is just another name for a moving picture on the screen of a monster that is bouncing. We've got three lives here, and we've got a scoreboard. So this template gave us some of this basic behavior. The monster is also bouncing when it gets to the bottom. I'll click on this back arrow on the left side of the screen. And as we continue to look at our game, you'll see that there was also a behavior where the game was allowing the sprites to bounce on all sides of the screen. We'll leave that for now, but we will change it later. We also have here a variable. It's abbreviated VAR. And the variable is called monster. And the game is going to create that sprite. And then we have this bit of information here. And this is an image that's called monster. Now, where this comes from is actually a piece of art right over here. And a little bit later, we'll be adding art and a few other things by clicking on this button here, scrolling down, finding a picture resource, and then we'll add a background and potentially another sprite for our screen. Once the sprite is created, notice that it is by default given an acceleration. And the Y here means it's on the Y axis, which means it's up and down. And since the origin of the screen, I'll run the main method again. This origin of the screen over here in the top left, that origin is 0, 0. So 0 on the X axis and 0 on the Y axis. Anything positive goes from left to right. And anything positive on the y-axis goes from top to bottom. So when we've got this acceleration, y, 400, don't worry about what the value 400 is. It's 400 pixels per second. Acceleration on the y-axis means that the monster will drop, accelerating, going downward. So our monster has been designed that once the sprite gets created, it will fall. Another thing to notice is the monster is created at the very center of the screen. We can change that, but by default, it's created in the center of the screen and then falls downward at this rate of 400 pixels per second. There's another behavior here that's added, though. It's called gamepad. And there's a behavior that on button pressed, so when you click on a mouse button or tap on the screen, the monster is going to have a speed of along the y-axis, so in other words, an up and down motion that is negative 200. So if a positive number is downward, a negative 200 is up. So if we click, as I'm clicking right now, I'm able to make the monster jump upward. It will hit the top screen if I click it enough and then bounce off. All right, that's our template, our default template for the game. And now we're going to add some behaviors to make it a little bit more like a regular video game. The first thing we'll do is let's add a second splash screen with some instructions. We click on this line, and you'll notice that there's a plus above and a plus below. The plus below inserts a line right below the line that we clicked on. Now we're going to look here on the board, and we're just going to duplicate the line above it, except instead of saying let's start, we're going to add some different text that says click to make the monster jump or something like that. So we come down here, we'll click game and then splash. And notice we've already got some default text here. So, and it's flashing. So we'll click edit. And then we'll type click to jump. And then select this green checkbox. Now let's run our game and see what it looks like. Okay, so we saw our two splash screens, and we'll keep editing from here. The next thing we'll do is add a background to our game. Right now, if we click run, once the splash screen's clear, you see we have this white background. We want to change that so that it looks more like an ocean, as we said that's what our game was going to be. So what we'll do is we'll add a background right past this splash screen. So we'll click on this, click on the line, then hit this plus. And now we're going to click game. And we're looking for set background scene. It's not here on this, our options here, but if I click this purple button that says more, I have a choice on the second set of screens to set the background scene. Now, a background scene scrolls so that it's continually moving, giving your sprite the appearance of, in this case, swimming along. It will be a fish. You can choose either horizontal or vertical. Vertical will scroll up and down. Horizontal will scroll from side to side. And it's also prompting us to insert a picture. So if we select the picture, the second attribute in the background scene behavior is the actual picture, but we haven't uploaded one yet. So let's create that as an art resource, and then we'll be able to add it as the second attribute. We'll click back and get back to this screen here. And if you don't see this section, you can always click on this split button to make this properties area appear. Now, as we mentioned before, we're going to add new, scroll down to the picture resource, and we're going to give this a name, and I'm going to just call it Ocean. After we create the name, then we're going to search inside the Touch Develop library for a suitable picture. If we don't find what we're looking for, we can always upload one that we create ourselves. So I'll click search, and I'm going to just type the word ocean, and hopefully that will be an appropriate keyword. And I'm looking for sort of a seafloor type of a picture. This one's potentially a good one. Here's another one. And I'll select this one here. You'll see there's a URL. Don't worry about it. That's just been provided. And you'll look over here in the art section, and we now have this second art resource available for us. So go back up here to code, click on main. Notice we've got a little error message because it's looking for that second attribute. So I'll click right there. I'll move the cursor to that spot and then select this tile called art. And here's our ocean. So we now have the scrolling horizontal background scene with the ocean art resource as the background. Now we'll run it again. And we now have our picture. It's not a perfect match. You can see a little line here. So we may want to search and find something that's a little more continuous, but this will be fine for now. Next, I want to change the monster to a fish. So I'll click this dismiss button. Come back here to the monster art asset. And I have two choices. I can either add a new resource that's a fish and replace the monster with this, or I can simply change the URL that's referenced in this asset. So right now you'll see I have this monster here and I have this name. If I want, I can just change this to fish. Research the art library. Find a fish that's pointing in the right direction. I'll just take this first one. And that's all you have to do. There's no checkbox to click or anything like that. Once the reference has been changed and this preview shows up down here, you're good to go. Notice that over here on the art side, the name has been changed to fish, so we're ready to go. Now let's run our main again. And now we have a fish. The next thing I want to do is change that size. I want it to not dominate the screen so much. So I'm going to change its dimensions. An interesting thing in Touch Develop is because the ratio of height to width is always managed by Touch Develop, all we have to do is change the width and the height will automatically change for us. So what we'll do is right below where we create the sprite, we'll click on this line, click add, and then select monster because that's the name of the variable that holds our image. We could change that. We can edit that and we can do that in a minute. So it's monster, and then we're going to set the width and notice that this says width. What I want to do is set the width. Notice that there are certain ones that are set. And if you look and it's not here, you don't see set width. You can select this magnifying glass icon to more and then scroll down here until you find the set width property, and here it is. Now the set width property, you want to set it to a value, and I'm going to set this one to 50. So I'll just use the backspace and then type 50. And let's run our main. And so now our fish is a lot smaller. We can also set its position. Right now, the default, I believe, is 200, but we can add the set position attribute as well so that it starts out a little bit more to the left. So to do that, we'll add another line, monster, and we'll look for a set behavior that will allow us to set its location. Okay, so we have a behavior right here that says called set position. If you don't see it on your screen, then you can use the more to look for it and the magnifying glass to find it. So I'm going to set position and it's looking for an XY coordinate. So we're going to set for the X 100 and for the Y 200. And let's run and see what happens. So now our fish starts over here on the left. For our next effect, let's try adding a sound to the fish. This is going to be another characteristic of the button press. And so we'll just add another button press event. We'll select this button press event and then click the add button right below it. And gamepad on button pressed. But this time we're going to select a sound. Now we don't have a sound yet in our collection, so we're going to need to add one. We'll come up here to the add new, click, scroll down, and we'll find a sound resource. And then we're going to search online for art sounds. If you don't have a sound that you like, you can, of course, create your own and upload it. And I'm going to look for short bubble sounds. And here's one that I created a few days ago. And I'll select that. And if you want to preview your bubble sound, you can just click this little button here, and that will allow you to preview it. So now I have short bubbles here in my art collection. We'll go back to my code, and we're right here. So on button press, we're going to add art and the short bubbles. And now we just have one more thing that we have to do, and we have to select play. So on button press, we'll play the short bubble sound. And that works just fine. Now the next thing we want to do is make it so that instead of bouncing off the sides, that if the fish hits the top or the bottom, that it loses a life. In order to do that, we're going to add a new set of events. And what we do is we look at every frame. So the smooth action is caused by the screen refreshing 30 times a second. And so we want the board to look at every frame, and whenever the fish hits the edge, and how do we know it hits the edge is when its location crosses the zero axis on the Y, then we want to remove a life. And we want the same thing to happen if it crosses the boundary on the bottom as well. So let's see how we do that. Okay, we're going to select this last command, and it highlights the whole section, and we're going to add below that, and we're going to click monster, and we're looking for on every frame. And I don't see it here, so we'll search in the more button. And here's on every frame. And then in this section here, we'll drop inside this curly brace and before this semicolon. And we're going to put a conditional statement that if this thing happens, then do this. So if the monster Y is greater than the board height, and we're looking for height, it's not here, so we may have to go find it. So if the monster's Y is greater than the board height, then we move out here, game, and we're looking for remove life, and then the number of lives that we're going to remove, which will be one. Here's remove life, and we'll stick with the one. Then there's an else statement, and we'll leave both braces that way. Add below it. Notice it says move left. And now I can do the if monster y is less than zero, then game remove life one. And now it removes a life when you cross the top edge of the board. Now, if I wanted to add other sprites, I would come back here to the art. I would add those. And then copying the code right here, I would add another sprite. I would set its location to be somewhere else on the screen. Size, acceleration if necessary, or not put any acceleration so it would be stationary. There's lots of things that you can do. And there are a number of tutorials that will build on these kinds of things. And you can make a couple of interesting games based on those tutorials. Once you get done with your game, or at least where you want to share it, you've got a couple of options. Inside the edit screen, you have this icon here that's called publish. Or on this screen here, you can click this publish button. When you click publish, you have the option of publishing it publicly, which means that anybody else in the Touch Develop community can look at your script and copy it. And that's, in fact, a great way for you to figure out how other people did certain techniques, is by looking at their script, bringing it into your account, and then cloning it. And then you can either modify it or you can at least see how they did things. If you don't want to share your script, if you're really, you know, building something unique and you don't want people to look at your code, you want to protect your copyright, so to speak, you could publish as hidden. I'm going to go ahead and click publish here. I get this publishing script message. And you get this script here, which you could share. But if you're going to use this widely, and there's another step we'll want to take. Clicking outside the gray box will return you to the screen here. And notice the publish option has disappeared both on this screen and it's no longer up here. You just have this share option. Now let's take a second and notice that right now you've got this default tile that doesn't have anything to do with your game. If we click up here, you can change your background color and your icon art to match your game. So now Bubblefish 2 has this kind of look and feel. If you're going to share this on Facebook or use it as a feed into a mobile app, which we won't cover in this workshop, select this icon called export, and you'll see that you'll get this error message, deployment not configured. Go up here right below the title of your app to script properties, scroll down, and then click HTML5 app. Notice you're getting this error message here that says You can only create apps from scripts that are published. You can always publish your script as hidden. So there's a little glitch right now that's still not thinking that it's published. So we'll publish this again. And now what you'll get is instead of touchdevelop.com and this little these last five or six characters here, it's got the word term user app, and that's really what you're looking for. Now there's one other transition that you want to make is you want to copy this URL. I'll select it and then Control C. I'm going to open up a new browser tab and paste that URL into it and then hit enter. And notice that after the word user app, it actually puts my nickname in there. So now it says Mr. Clean. That's the URL that you're going to want to share on Facebook or in an email or on a website, or if you're creating a mobile app that's going to get fed this. That's the URL that includes your alias. That's the URL that you're going to want to publish. Now, let's take a few minutes and talk about some of the tutorials. I'm going to go back to the hub. I'm going to change my skill level to beginner for now. And they've got a couple of interesting tutorials. The one that will be the fastest, but yet will still teach you some interesting things, is Jetpack Jumper. When you open up Jetpack Jumper, just click this orange button that says Follow the Tutorial in an Editor.
Welcome to Hour of Code, an introduction.
Now, these tutorials are completely scripted, so there'll be an explanatory video. And then there's going to be a option that will show up and it will tell you exactly where to click. So if you watch the video or read the text down here.
Today, you're going to start with a game that doesn't quite work right. Meet.
Then it's going to show you on the screen exactly where to click. So, if you don't want to listen to the video, I recommend that you do. But if you're trying to quickly get through the tutorial, you can always jump ahead and click this Let's Do It button. And then for the tutorials, a lot of the work has been done for you, and you're going to be just making some minor modifications. Then, what you'll do is look for these instructions here. So tap here to run your app. And so you just follow those instructions and you'll be able to finish the
Coding might
tutorial.
sound.
Notice also there's a progress bar here that when you complete each step, the stars will fill in until you've completed the tutorial. After you've done two tutorials, you'll be able to take the app that you created with the tutorial, and you'll be able to modify it so that you'll be able to create a game that's uniquely yours. I'll give you an example. I'm going to go back to my scripts, and I'm going to show you the completed Jetpack Jumper game once the tutorial's done. It looks something like this. You've got a robot, he's flying, and your job is to avoid these obstacles that spawn. Now I want to show you what a student did by modifying this game. They made a game called Dotfish. And notice that There's a slow drift, but there's a lot of different sprites coming. It's got a neat background. And in this game, you actually get power-ups by eating the red dots and avoiding the green dots. So just because the tutorials are very basic doesn't mean you don't have the ability to create some very fun and unique games. So let me show you a couple of ideas on how you could modify two of the tutorials. Let's start with the Jetpack Jumper. If we open up Jetpack Jumper and click on Edit, you'll see over here in the Explorer pane all the different artwork pieces that go into Jetpack Jumper. And you can, as we've demonstrated previously, change any of these and replace them with backgrounds or pictures. So, for example, you could change the city to a post-apocalyptic city. You could change the robot to a zombie and then change the pictures to chainsaws and axes and whatever you wanted and turn it into a zombie jumper very easily. Another example of a game tutorial is the Flapping Bird, which I've modified very simply by changing the background to a kitchen and changing the bird to a stack of pancakes. And I added a sound. So that's another simple way that you could modify that, once again by replacing the artwork and then adding a sound as we demonstrated in Bubblefish. That's the end of this introductory video. For more information, search through these tutorials. You can also scroll down here and click on the Getting Started. And there's a lot of interesting information. There's links, of course, to the tutorials we've mentioned, but they also have these interactive tutorials and courses. If you click on those, there's a number of interesting tutorials where you can learn additional techniques. If you click on these courses, there's quite a few resources here, especially the David Renton curriculum. There's a whole set of YouTube videos that walk through a lot of different touch develop programming techniques where you can make shooter games and all kinds of interesting things here, following his resources as well. That's it for now. Thanks for watching. And we invite you to check out our other great videos in the Azure in IS Lab series on Channel 9.